morning, I'd like to call the February 2007 meeting of the Virginia Marine Resources Commission to order. I'd like to ask Mr. Holland to give the invocation, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Mr. Rick Robbins. Please stand.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, we ask your presence with us here today and in our daily lives, that the things that we say and do may be for the benefit of our fellow man. Make us ever mindful of your gifts and grant us this day some new vision of your truth. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum. Mr. Schick is out of the country and will not be here today. Before I get into the body of the agenda in the meeting, we have some good news. One of our commission members is a proud new father of a baby boy. Richard Rayleigh Robbins III was born on 21st day of February, 11:10 a.m., 5 pounds, 6 ounces, 18 inches, and I presume mother and child and father are doing well.
They are, sir, and since he was born west of the coal regs line, I assured my wife that at 18 inches he was, in fact, a keeper.
Congratulations, sir. Again, good morning. It's good to have you here today. I know everyone is here on a matter that is important to them. I can assure you that you will be afforded an opportunity to speak. The first item that I'd like to do is I would like to swear in the staff members that will be testifying, may be testifying, as well as the representatives from the Distinguished Virginia Institute of Marine Science. Would you please stand? Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you will give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. The first item of business is the approval of the agenda. Is there any additions, corrections, deletions from first commission members? Mr. Bowden, did you have an item that you wanted to?
I would like to ask the commission to move one item on the agenda.
What would that be, sir?
It would be item number 9 to proceed, to follow the item number 4. We have people coming from the Eastern Shore on both items, and it would be more advantageous if they could follow each other.
All right. I think that would be fine. Item 9 is now moved to item 5, and the following numbers will follow sequentially. Anyone else on the commission have any additions or corrections or deletions from the agenda? Anyone from staff? Mr. Grab?
Yes, sir. We have two corrections. One, we'd like to add an item entitled to the page 2 items, the peer condominiums.
Would that be 2I?
It'll be 2I on the current agenda.
Okay.
And we'd like to, we've received two protests on item 2F, marine hydraulics, so we're asking that that be pulled, but it's no longer unprotested, and we'll consider those protests and present it to the commission at next month's meeting.
Okay. For the record, then, what we'll do is we'll operate on the current agenda that we have, adding 2I, and the title of that was Pure Condominiums?
Yes, sir. And I'll read that description.
That'll be fine. Any other? You have the agenda before you. I'll entertain a motion on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve the agenda as amended.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries unanimously. You've had the minutes of the previous meeting for review. Are there any corrections, deletions, or additions to the minutes? If not, Chair will entertain the motion.
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Holland to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, I abstained because I was not present.
Okay. So let the record reflect, Kathy, that there's one abstention. That would be Mr. Fox due to his absence at last meeting. The next item on the agenda is permits, projects over $50,000 with no objection and with staff recommendation for approval. Mr. Grab?
Mr.
Commissioner, members of the Commission, good morning. With the addition and deletion, we still have eight page two items, as the agenda indicates. And the Commissioner has said these are those which are unprotested, which have been subjected to a public interest review and for which no opposition has been received, and staff is recommending approval. Very briefly, the Coast Guard requesting authorization to remove and replace both the Windmill Point Light, Stingray Point Light at the mouth of the Rappahannock River. They'll be replaced with a steel caisson structure, which will have on top of it a 10-foot high extension and a 5-foot by 20-foot skeleton tower to which the ACE navigation will be in place. The Corps of Engineers 2B is requesting authorization to modify and extend an existing permit with specific modifications, and this is their permit for the maintenance of Rudy Inlet. Specific modifications are to include the City of Virginia Beach as a co-applicant, co-permittee on that permit, to continue the authorization to place approximately 350,000 cubic yards of sandy material on the north side of the inlet as a result of ongoing dredging, maintenance dredging. The option of using a side cast dredging vessel in emergency situations to remove shoaling, and a permit extension which would take this to the 10-year life of a commission permit, which would be October 31st, 2012. 2C, Richmond Department of Public Utilities, requesting authorization to construct a temporary causeway in the James River. It will be 500 feet long for the purpose of installing 500 feet of a 60-inch diameter water line between the Richmond Water Treatment Plant and the Bird Park pump station. In this case, we are recommending first that the causeway be removed upon completion of the construction, and that our standard permit conditions be incorporated, and a time of year restriction of March 1st through September 15th for both anadromous species, fish, and freshwater mussel species, as may be determined by the Game and Inland Fisheries. 2D, Richmond Region 2007, is requesting authorization for a temporary 24-foot by 500-foot floating causeway. This would be for the mooring of the Godspeed, Schooner Virginia, Calmer Nickel, and Lady Maryland in conjunction with the Jamestown 2007 celebration. Here again, we are recommending that the causeway be removed no later than June 15, 2007, after the celebration, and obviously this would be pending approval of the health department, since technically it's a marina or other place where boats are moored. Hanover County Department of Public Utilities is requesting authorization to directionally install a 16-inch diameter sewer force main under Totopotamoy Creek in Hanover County. York County is requesting authorization to modify a previously issued permit which would allow for a relocation of a 40-foot by 6-foot ramp, 65-foot by 13-foot floating canoe and kayak launching dock 10 feet to the south, and the dredging of 35 cubic yards of material at their facility on Warmley Creek. Green County's requesting authorization to install 280 feet of 20-inch water main pipeline over multiple stream crossings adjacent to or and within the right-of-way of Route 29 in Green County. And the addition, which will be 2H or 2I, the Pier Condominiums permit application number 06-2853 is requesting authorization to remove and reconstruct a new 35-slip community marina for condominium owners, employing concrete and case floating dock modules, as well as the addition of 500 linear feet of riprap armor stone protection and 160 linear feet of floating wave attenuation barrier at their property, which is situated along the Elizabeth River at the entrance to the Hague or Smith Creek in Norfolk. We are recommending approval and the assessment of a royalty in the amount of $64,191 for the additional encroachment over 42,794 square feet of state-owned bottom at the commission's rate of $1.50 per square foot. This is in keeping with the commission's rent and royalty schedule that was adopted on an effective December 1st, 2005. With that, I or members of my staff would be happy to try to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Grab? Mr. McCluskey?
Yes, I have.
Public hearing, excuse me. Public hearing will come right after this.
On B2 item, I have a person that's in the audience that wants to speak to get some clarification on the application, and Mr. Jeff Gordon
Would that be the gentleman just raised his hand?
Yes.
Let me do this real fast. Anyone else from the commission have any questions or comments on the page two items? This is a public hearing. Yes, sir. Come forward, please. Ask. You can ask a question, or we'll get clarification.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Gordon. I'm a...
Mr. Gordon, can you raise your right hand? Yes. You solemnly swear the testimony that you will give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Yes. Thank you, sir.
Sure. I'm a oceanfront homeowner in Croatan, a member of the Croatan Civic League Beach Erosion Committee, and I don't contest anything that's in the application for 2B. However, I did notice that in their exhibits, they show a typical cross-section where the slope that they're displaying is a 1-2 slope.
Right.
And what's happening is with their dredging practices, when they're dredging at the western cut, the first cut of the sand trap, where you have wave action on the sand does not stand up at a 45-degree angle. It flattens completely out. It's removing the lateral support of the adjoining property, and it has undermined, just in the past year, on three occasions, it undermined the new dune fill and vegetation and rock groin that was put in through a permit they received a couple years ago to repair the weir and the jetty. I do have some photos that are time and date stamped, but it's been undermined for quite some time. They haven't repaired it. And what happens is when they box cut at the western end of the sand trap and they do a 20-foot box cut and your slope is not cutting back at 1-2, it's cutting back flat, it's literally taking the water directly up onto the dune and removing material from the dune. It has rolled the rock out on the rock groin on three occasions in the past year. Just after Thanksgiving nor'easter, I spent 10 hours of my time, I've done this three times this year, going out and literally picking up rock and carrying it back up to the groin because the rock there was left over debris from the repair of the weir, a lot of the smaller rock, and so it just rolls right out onto the beach, and the city doesn't, I guess, have someone that goes out there and takes care of it. So, you know, I've gone out there with my wife on multiple occasions and just carried the rock back up because it is dangerous having that out there. A child could actually fall right through the gaps in the rock groin the way it was constructed. But, you know, where I show here that they've got construction fence from when they did the dune vegetation and fill that was, you know, taxpayer dollars were used to do that, you know, it has fallen out and has not been replaced. And so all of that, you know, new construction that was done is just eroding, you know, at an alarming pace, and it doesn't make it safe for the community. And I don't think that was the intent of doing the dune fill and vegetation, was to have, you know, this box cut, the slope cutting all the way back into the dune and literally removing the dune. And like I said, it's happened three times just in the past year.
Mr. Grab, would you like to comment on that, or would we like the applicant or engineer, or I'd like someone to comment on it, actually.
I don't necessarily dispute anything that Mr. Gordon is saying. I would remind the commission that the physical act of dredging by federal agency is exempt, yes, and the dredging in the federal project channel is exempt. The authorization that the commission grants is for the placement of the dredged material resulting from the maintenance dredging on the beach as a valuable state resource. There continues to be some question, depending upon the accretion, as to whether any dredging, even if it is the resulting of the slope, is outside the confines of the federal project channel. And my only position would be if it's within the federal project channel and the Corps is undertaking it as a federal activity, and that includes the sand trap and the weir, it's really not something that the commission has jurisdiction over, and we've tried to indicate that while there may be issues regarding real property damages or impacts, those would be civil matters between the property owners and the Corps, and or if the commission, you know, approves this, the city as a co-applicant, co-permittee.
So as I understand it, the gentleman's coming to us for aid and assistance that we may not technically be able or be in a position due to jurisdictional matters to provide. Is that?
If the dredging and the impacts are within or associated with the federal project channel maintenance, that's not an area that the commission is even exercising jurisdiction over. That doesn't require a permit from the commission. What requires a permit from the commission is the placement of the material on the beach as beach nourishment. So the things that Mr. Gordon is referring to may in fact be occurring, but it would not necessarily be something that the commission would have any ability to address.
Well, I think, though, as an agency of good government should do, maybe we can apprise whoever may be responsible in this matter that this gentleman has come before the commission with a concern. Right?
I think there's been an ongoing discussion between the parties and the Corps and the residents and the city regarding the activities, you know, along that area. And I mean, it might be better if someone is here from the Corps and the city to address, you know, some of those things. But I don't think it's something that's the parties are unaware of.
Any further questions or comments? Mr. McCluskey?
Bob, I'm an adjoining property owner that was notified by BMRC of this application. I'm not against the application at all, except I'd like to see, and I'm not going to vote on it, I'd like to see the sand trap delineated with dimensions and a good dredging practice be requested by the applicant or applicants. And to stay within the bounds of the permitted sand trap. One thing for clarification, does the Corps or the city have a exemption, hold harmless, by getting outside of the sand trap and then damaging private property?
The exemption, and if, I believe Carl, is 28.2-1203A4 or A3. Is for the maintenance of congressionally authorized projects. What Justin has put up is the federal project channel. And even in the federal project channel, one will see that there's a there's an imposition of the federal project channel over what's descriptively depicted as upland property. From our standpoint, the maintenance of the federal project channel, which includes the sand trap, would not require a permit. And the sand trap and the basin are at a minus 18 feet. So my understanding is that the project outlines are the base width. And if, due to the material, there were a 2-to-1 layback, you might have a 36-foot slope that would come down to that 18-foot depth. So there is an additional impact around the basin. Even though the material would slump, there's actually not anything occurring outside of that. It may be impacting real property. It may be a matter between the property owners and the Corps and or the city as a result of the maintenance of that federal project channel. But the upland issues, once the land is above mean low water, it's outside of the Marine Resources Commission's jurisdiction. And to the extent that it's below mean low water, as long as it's within the confines of the federal project channel, it's not something that we had any jurisdiction over. The commission did assert jurisdiction, if you'll recall, over the weir, the replacement of the structure,
right.
Required that it be drop and to a lower level, which you got farther offshore, to allow some of the material to bypass, because it is trapping the material. The net flow is to the north along here, so that, you know, as the weir works, you are accreting that shoreline. Has the city or the Corps in the past dredged outside? Possibly. I don't know. But it's really, we've been involved with the Rudy Inlet Project Channel for a number of years, and it's really, there are real impacts associated with it. It's just not an area that the commission has had jurisdiction over.
I understand.
Any further, Mr.?
Yes, I'm confused, Bob. Which doesn't happen as often.
Happens more frequently with me, but
is it the BMRC's understanding that anything beyond the sand trap is still a federal project?
No, the Corps sought authorization to dredge beyond the.
We have a pointer.
The Corps sought authorization at one point to extend the channel. That wasn't in the federal project channel. The Commission authorized by permit that extension. If the Corps were to, I don't know whether that says 120, 180, but if the Corps wanted to widen that beyond the federal project channel because the width of vessels was greater. In fact, the Commission would have to authorize that widening. The impacts that I think Mr. Gordon and you are concerned with are the impacts associated with the maintenance of this western edge of the sand trap. And as I indicated, there does appear to be a conflict between the property that has resulted from the accretion of the net northern movement of the material and the maintenance of this channel. I'm merely trying to state that's something that the Commission doesn't have any jurisdiction.
I guess I'm right around the same. I mean, I asked the question, how far does the jurisdiction of the Corps extend westward beyond the sand trap?
To wherever this line is. I mean, if they were able, and I'm sure the Corps has maps that would delineate, if they were to survey this line and put that wherever it is, whether it's in the water, in the beach, I don't know where it is at the current time, they were to survey that, my position would be that the dredge would not be able, at the 18-foot level, the cutter head, to extend westward of that. Now, that doesn't mean that if the cutter head was along this line 18 feet below the water surface, that there wouldn't be impacts 20, 36 feet beyond that to the west as a result of the slumping of the material to a natural angle of repose as a result of the dredging. But while the impacts are outside the federal project channel, the activity is occurring within the federal project channel. As at least that's the interpretation the staff has used consistently, you know, over the years.
Well, I'm 100% behind the Corps and the city to keep the channel open. But really, what I'd like to see is that the VMRC, even though they don't have jurisdiction, I don't know why we're here listening to this if we don't have any jurisdiction anyway. But be that as it may, ask that the dredge operation be confined to the designated area. And so the plats that have been presented today with the application, and that the application plat would show some dimensions that would help the dredge operator stay within the bounds of the approval and not do exactly what you just say, come right up to the boundary line and cut straight down 20 feet, knowing full well this is going to move the lateral support from private property. I'm just suggesting that they had that, and I can't imagine anybody being against that. I know you want them to live up to the application.
I think the Commission could ask what that would entail if one took just a one-to-one slope. And given the nature of the sandy material, that's what the angle of repose was. What you would be asking the city and the Corps to do would be to cease dredging 18 to 20 feet east of the limit of the federal project channel. Now, from our standpoint, you know, we wouldn't care.
No, that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that they start cutting 18 to 20 feet a reasonable distance back from the top of the designated weir, and not just dump right up to the property to the weir line. What's the most line, and go 18 to 20 feet deep, knowing full well that it's going to remove the lateral support to the private property to the west.
Sure, because we're going to need to move along.
I'm not questioning. It is my observation that if the sign for the western dredging limit is located in the right place, which it looks to be, and that they do dredge at the edge of that boundary. I'm not questioning that. I do believe that they are staying there within reason. The issue is there's a diagram with a submission for a permit that shows a typical of this 1-2 slope, and when they get to that edge of it, staying within their boundary, and it clearly shows that the toe of the slope is where they, you know, at their boundary limit, they create the toe of the slope. The problem is, this is misleading to suggest that you're going to have this 1-2 slope where you've got wave activity on it. So in reality, it's not really cutting back 36 feet. It could cut back 100 feet. I mean, it lays down. So they may be staying within their boundary. However, if they're permitted on something that is not necessarily accurate, and then the dredge operators are making their dredging decisions on something that's not accurate, it's creating a problem.
Point is, we're not permitting those activities.
Well, let's do this. We need to move on.
The core of the city is here. I mean,
I think what the gentleman is asking for is, again, relief that we cannot provide at this juncture there, that it's out of our jurisdiction. I understand his concern by both the photographs as well as the fact that you've indicated from a jurisdictional perspective that, you know, we can do but so much. But there is an issue. Apparently there is a very tangible problem that we cannot remedy.
And I would agree with that.
What I think we could do, as I stated from the beginning, is maybe have Justin talk with them, talk with the Corps, talk with the city, and find out what can be done, if anything, to ameliorate this type of issue. Just have a discussion. So, you know, and then at the end of the day, if one asserts jurisdiction and says we're going to do what we're going to do under the color of law, you have two options. You either accept it or you take them to federal court. But I think you've used today as a forum basically to demonstrate that there is an issue. We do understand that. If I could give you relief, and if it was a project of ours that resulted in that type of issue, we could address it maybe in a different fashion. But at this juncture, I don't think we can.
What was confusing to me is that there's no jurisdiction. I didn't know why it was being presented here.
Understood. Any other comments? Any other questions from
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Fox.
It appears to me from the discussion that if this were a private individual asking to do this, that we would turn it down. But we would probably turn it down.
We could either turn it down or certainly hold their feet to the fire to a higher standard, yes. I think is what I...
Or we would move them back.
Right. I would hope that there could be some communication, meaningful communication with Corps engineers that would...
We've never had a problem having meaningful communication with them. I think what we can do, if you would, our staff will talk with them, say that indicate there's a problem, we'll go from there.
I'm sure their representatives have heard the discussion this morning.
That's why I don't believe in hearing it again. But anyway, your point's well made. My time is yours, sir. Any other comments on the page two items? Public hearing is closed. Now, Mr. McCluskey, as I understand, you are not going to be voting on item 2B. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
I will entertain a motion on the page two items, items 2A through 2I. With the exception of item 2B.
And F.
And F, which has been pulled. Thank you for helping me on that one.
Move the approval of those items.
Mr. Holland has moved to approve items 2A, C, D, E, G, H, and I. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Now we'll be voting on item 2B. I will entertain a motion on item 2B.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve item 2B with the copy of the transcript that was discussed on item 2B in the pictures to be forwarded to the Corps and the City of Virginia Beach and ask them to take those into consideration.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tankard. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries with one abstention, and that would be Mr. McCluskey. Thank you very much. Next item on agenda is item 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that this meeting be recessed and that the Commission immediately reconvene in closed meeting for the purpose of consultation with legal counsel and briefings by staff members pertaining to actual or probable litigation or other specific legal matters requiring legal advice by counsel as permitted by subsection A, paragraph 7 of section 2.2-3711 of the Code of Virginia pertaining to VMRC versus Jewett.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We will be in closed session no longer than 10 minutes. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Whereas the Commission has convened a closed meeting on this date pursuant to an affirmative recorded vote in accordance with the provisions of the Virginia Freedom of Information Act, and whereas Section 2.2-3712D of the Code of Virginia requires a certification by this Commission that such closed meeting was conducted in conformity with Virginia law, now therefore the Commission hereby certifies that, to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Virginia law, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which a closed meeting was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered in the closed meeting by the Commission.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Mr. Bowden?
Aye.
Mr. Fox?
Aye.
Mr. Holland?
Aye.
Dr. McConaughey?
Aye.
Mr. McCluskey?
Aye.
Mr. Robbins?
Aye.
Mr. Schick is absent. Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda, number 4, Birchwood Motel Incorporated, docket number 05-2780. Mr. Badger.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.